When George Kennan died this past Thursday night at the age of 101, tributes flowed from America's diplomatic community, like the one from Richard Gardner, a former U.S. ambassador to Italy and Spain. All of us who aspired to careers in the Foreign Service still look to Kennan as a role model. Kennan's roots as an icon to American diplomats dated to the years immediately following World War II, a time when the Soviet Union was flexing its muscle throughout Eastern Europe, and Kennan was serving in the American Embassy in Moscow. In 1947, he wrote a secret memo outlining a proposal to confront the global spread of communism through ideology and politics rather than war. That policy came to be called containment, and it guided U.S. foreign relations through four decades of the Cold War. Although Kennan was recognized as the policy's author, he was not always happy with how it was implemented. In 1993, with the end of the Cold War and the collapse of the Soviet Union, George Kennan wrote a book entitled Around the Cragged Hill, A Personal and Political Philosophy. At the time, he visited our studios to speak with Leanne Hansen about his book, his life, and the genesis of containment.
The Russians came out of World War II, the Soviet leaders, I should say, with unrealistic ideas about their great military success in Europe, what it was going to mean. I think they thought that they were going to have greater influence over the entire continent than we thought was permissible. And that had to be corrected. They did, of course, retain very large forces numerically in Europe at a time when we had demobilized most of ours. I think those forces were actually not as formidable as we saw them as being at that time, but they were much larger than ours. And that meant there did indeed have to be a certain effort of remilitarization in this country. But I don't think it needed to be presented to the public here in the way that it was, and that the necessity needed to be interpreted in the way that it was. There was much too much a militarized Cold War. If it had been a political one, it would have been more understandable and better, and we wouldn't have spent so much money, had so much tension.
In 1951, George Kennan wrote an article in the journal Foreign Affairs about Russia's future. 42 years later, with the Soviet Union collapsing, Leanne Hansen asked Kennan about expectations for Russia's evolution. In answering, he referred back to his 1951 article.
I pointed out that it was not a country which would be run in the way that we run ours. There would not be a Russian democracy absolutely conforming with our own here. It would take time to rearrange the country. After all, there was very, very slight democratic or parliamentary tradition even before the revolution, so that the people were unaccustomed to anything of that sort. I am not as pessimistic as some of the others are who are writing about the Russian question. I think they have greater reserves of resilience, of imagination, of energy, and really, with many of the youth, of a certain idealism than we have given them credit for. And the Russian press of these last two or three years has been marvelous. It's quite exciting to realize they're very good press. The Russians are a literary people. They write well. They have a good sense of humor. They have a certain tough sense of humor now. And it makes very good reading. And it's completely open. There seem to be no limits on criticism.
And this is healthy.
Of course it is. It's enormously healthy. It's so healthy that I don't think there is any going back. I don't think you could put this genie back in the bottle again.
Kennan went on to speak about Russia's emerging democracy in 1993 compared to America. His comments echo today as the United States presses to spread democracy around the world.
I think there is a lesson that we should learn, and that is that our own political system is intimately connected with and derived from our own national experiences. I say experiences because there are lots of different people in this country today, but that we mustn't expect people who have had different historical experiences to see problems of political organization, political structure, exactly the way that we do.
You have said that the United States, indeed our society, does on the one hand serve as an example for the rest of the world, but this is not a messianic concept.
That is right. There's a difference between an example and precept, trying to preach to other people. It's one thing when we show other people what can be done in a democracy, and nothing is more useful than that. It's another thing when we go and talk to them in a manner which brings the inference that we consider ourselves superior and they ought to learn to be like us.
George Kennan was not afraid to speak the truth to the powerful, no matter which political party controlled the White House. He was particularly bothered by the influence of partisan politics and special interests on American foreign policy.
We all know that there are highly organized and powerful minority interests, many of them of a commercial nature, but not all. Some are of ideological persuasion in this country, and that they are, the nature of our political system is such that they are capable of bringing tremendously intensive pressure on the people in Washington. And that pressure is usually not in the interests. They would argue that the things that they want are in the interests of the country as a whole, but I think that is obviously specious. They are in the interests of the people who are bringing these pressures to bear. But that's not identical with the country. And I've seen many mistakes made, a great many in American foreign policy, simply owing to the undue power of special interests on our government. And I think really that it's up to the presidents, it's up to the executive power here to show greater resistance to that and to say to these people, look here, all right, you feel this way, but we have a duty to the country as a whole and to the, not just to the present of this country, but to the future of it. And that is a duty to all the American people. And you must excuse us, but we are not going to yield to your pressures when we think those are contrary to the real national interest. Now, that's been my life for many years, 26 years in the Foreign Service. We were supposed to be acting in the national interest and to report to our government, to inform our government as to where the national interest was with relation to given countries. And for that reason, it's been very hard for many of us who are in the career to forgive our government for its flaccidity and its weakness in the face of special political interests.
Despite his stature in the corridors of diplomatic power, George Kennan retained a self-deprecating sense of humor. In their conversation 12 years ago, Leanne Hansen asked him for his perspective on his own contribution to political discourse throughout his career.
I've only been a sort of pestiferous insect on the hide of the Washington political establishment, and occasionally I bite them, and they have to scratch. But that's about all I've been able to do. I think I am moved by the following I've had among a great many people in the country, but not in the seats of power.
George Kennan, speaking with Leanne Hansen in 1993. The architect of America's containment policy toward the Soviet Union died last Thursday. He was 101 years old.